In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. We will shortly come upon the season of Lent, in which traditions and devotions, things in our prayer book and things from other books, you know, those secret ones that the priests don't let you see. No, you can see them anytime you want. Actually, there are no secrets. And you may not know where they come from, and you may not know why we do them. But in the wisdom of the ages of the church, they have been preserved for us. One of those ancient traditions, for example, does anybody remember how much turmoil it caused in the church when they made up that exchange of peace in the middle of church? They didn't make it up. It was there in the ancient church. They restored it. And it wasn't a tradition, and it really isn't supposed to be about wishing each other good morning and how nice my tie is today. The exchange of the peace is supposed to fulfill what Jesus gave us in the gospel today. If you are offering your gift at the altar and remember that your brother or sister has something against you, first go and reconcile with your brother or sister and then return and offer your gift. It is supposed to be a time of forgiveness. That's what the exchange of peace is supposed to be. And if you do not know that you have offended anyone and you do not believe anyone has offended you, it's a time to express the fact that you are in communion with each other, because it seems to be rather offensive to God and certainly to the thought of St. Paul. How can you say, I'm of Paul or I'm of Apollos? Are you not one in Christ? And so that wise tradition of the church is something we practice. And we practice that tradition. Now, realize that God enjoys us being in communion with him. In fact, and I'm not a big fan of the Westminster Confession of Faith. Look it up sometime. But the first question is, what is the chief end of man? Goal, end, goal. What is the chief end of man? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. Question one in the catechism. Where am I as a human being headed? To glorify God and enjoy God forever. Communion. Our problem, though, with communion, and while we are called to create communion with one another by repentance, forgiveness, reconciliation, we do not create communion with God. Whether it's my personal prayers or the special devotions of the church or penitence, you know, attitude of my heart, coming to the fount, the baptismal water, is not something that the baptized person does. It's something that's done to them. You can't baptize yourself. The church came down. You can't do that. Somebody else has to baptize you. Communion with God is something God creates. And I want to look, if you would, with me at the Old Testament reading. Moses, in the book of Deuteronomy, is giving his final set of sermons, so to speak, to the people of Israel before he dies. They're going to cross over into the Promised Land, and Moses, because of his disobedience, is not going to enter into God's rest. And he says, here are the ordinances, here are the ways I want you to live with each other, and I'm setting before you life and prosperity, death and judgment, so that you can choose the good and live long in the promised land. But notice it's very important. He doesn't say, do all these things, make the right choices, live right, so you can get in. You are going in. And I'm telling you how to enjoy life within God's promise. Not, I'm telling you how to get God's promise. God is giving you the promised land. you can enjoy life and prosperity, or as we hear from Jesus when he talks to St. Paul, you can kick against the goads. But the promised land is being given. So when we look at our devotion, whether we are making confession and examination of ourselves during Lent, whether we're going to enter into additional studies or times of prayer, maybe vigils, nighttime staying awake to pray, or fat times of fasting, whatever, when you think about your Lent, and we're a week and a half out, so you still have time, you're thinking about your Lent, and I, as your priest, am thinking about our Lent, we must always realize that all the devotion and the energy and anything we put into it is not creating grace. It's not convincing God to give us mercy. Everything we do as it is to be geared toward enjoying what he has already given us. Or do we forget that we have been washed from our sins, adopted, grafted in, and sealed by the Holy Spirit, and we belong to Christ forever? It's already done. Already given. We are living within the promises, not earning them. Have we forgotten that most of us have at least one, if not more than one? And this is amazing in all of history. We're in a time where this is beyond belief for most people. That you have a printed, readable, markable, studyable copy of the Holy Scriptures. That in those things you can encounter the living Christ with family on your own. Read them, bring the idea back to the body of the church and find Jesus in them. Already given to you. It's on your bookshelf. And I dare say for most of us, it's a little dustier than it ought to be. Have we forgotten that Jesus, by his own words, broke bread and poured out wine and said, "This is my body, this is my blood"? A promise already given? Pre-communion devotions comes. Some people come into the church and pray quietly before. Is that a way to earn grace, or is it a way to enjoy it more? Some people fast before they receive communion. Is that a way to earn God's favor, or to acknowledge the fact that that I don't live by bread alone, but by what comes from the mouth of God? God's grace has been given. When we displease God by our failures and by our sins, and our collect says we can do nothing good without you, give us the help of your grace so that we may please you both in will and deed. Pleasing God, when we fail, when we sin, God doesn't get angry and then break communion with us. We, by sinning, break communion with God, and he gets upset. See, the difference is an important difference. When we sin, God does not get angry and then break communion. When we sin, we are breaking communion, which distresses the loving God. And I think in the scripture, God's wrath and his anger is really just a picture of him letting us go our own way. I've given you a boat. Why did you poke a hole in the bottom of it? Because I thought it was a good idea. See how that works out for you. Go ahead. And then we think God's mad at us when he's just giving us freedom. Go ahead, poke another hole in the boat. See if it works better. He's very sad about it. And he wants us back. But it's not wrath. It's God's sorrow. So we please him by receiving the gift already given. Like Israel was placed in the promised land and Moses told them how to enjoy God, we by baptism have been placed in this promise, marked by the Holy Spirit. We belong to Christ forever. We have the word of God. We have the community of faith. We have the sacraments. We've been placed in, and the wisdom of the church has told us how to enjoy life in Christ. As you come to Lent, realize you're not earning. You're not clawing your way out of a hole. You're not trying to impress God, and certainly don't try to impress anybody else or your priest. Enter your Lenten devotions, your Lenten disciplines. Think through them and realize that they are a way to live with joy in the promises of God. You are destined to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. The wisdom of the church, the daily prayers, the devotions, the writings of the saints, the singing of the hymns, the making of confession, the recounting of our baptism, fasting, prayer, self-denial, giving of alms, giving ourselves over to Holy Communion. These are not earning our grace. They are enjoying it. Amen.